Jump on the tear, Paramahansa Sahajagacharya Asti Garasati Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, His Confounder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Sri Shivaratri Ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi Kishore Kishore Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaura. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. So today is the celebration of the appearance of Lord Shiva, which is known as Shivaratri. And in following in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they have explained in the Krishna book that they went to Ambikavan on the day of Shivaratri to honor Lord Shiva. Although we don't worship the demigods directly, but because Lord Shiva is not only a demigod, but he's one of the greatest of all Vaishnavas, we honor this very special personality. So I chose one verse from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which glorifies various aspects of Krishna consciousness, but especially the third line is specifically for the glorification of Lord Shiva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
In my jacket, inside the pocket, there's a piece of paper. Canto 12, Chapter 13, Text Number 16.
Nimna
Ganam Yata Ganga Devanam Achyuto Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu Purananam Idam Tataha. Is there a piece of paper in here? Here it is.
Nimna Gangnam Yata Ganga Devanam Achyuta Yata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Puranam Idam Tataha. Ganga Devanam Achyutayata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Puranam Idam Tataha Nimna Gangam Yata Ganga Devanam Achyutayata Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu Purananam Idam Tataha. Shambhu Purananam idam tatah Nimnaganam yada ganga Devanam achyuta yata Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu Puranam idam tatah Nimnaganam of rivers flowing down to the sea. Yata, as Ganga, the Ganges. Devanam, of all deities. Achyutaha, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata, as Vaishnavanam, of devotees of Lord Vishnu. Yata, as Shambhu, Shiva. Purananam, of Puranas. Idam, this. Tataha, similarly. Translation, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as the Ganges is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu Shiva, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Please repeat. Just as the Ganges is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Om Ajnanti Medandrasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unvilitam Yena Tasmai Shidurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Staptitam Yena Bhutai Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Padanti Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Golda Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to perform the functions in this material world, He incarnates in three aspects of His own self. For the sake of creation, Lord Narayan manifests Himself as Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma comes from the lotus-like navel of Garbhadakshina Vishnu, directly from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is called Aja, means he is born without the help of a mother. Or he is called Sambhu. Not Shambhu, but Sambhu. He means he's directly born without a father. I mean a mother. Directly born from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Vishnu, or Lord Narayan, wants to destroy the cosmic creation, he manifests himself as Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma is in the controller of the mode of passion. Passion means creativity. Lord Vishnu is in the controller of the mode of goodness. Goodness means to maintain what has been created. And when one wants to destroy something, that is the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva is in charge of that mode, the mode of ignorance. He is not a product of the mode of ignorance. He is the controller of that particular mode. There is an original Shiva in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha planets, where he has his own planet. He is Sadashiva, the original of all Shivas. And that same Sadashiva incarnated as Advaita Acharya. Actually, Advaita Acharya is a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So he came to this material world in order to facilitate the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shiva is, from the absolute point of view, none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the sense that he manifests himself directly from Lord Narayana. But when he comes to this material world, he plays a particular function as a deva, a demigod. Lord Shiva's appearance in this material world appears to be just like something that has manifested in a certain point in time. The actual story of the appearance of Lord Shiva is very wonderful. When Lord Brahma wanted to create the different progenies throughout the creation, he expanded himself into various personalities in order to facilitate that creation. And from his body directly, so many progenitors came in order to perform the function of creation. So one such expansion of Lord Brahma was Chatushana, or the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras are directly sons of Lord Brahma. They came from the intelligence of Lord Brahma, directly from his most pure part of his body. And they were incarnations of the mode of knowledge, or the facility of knowledge. They were, by birth, Brahman realized. They had already realized the level of Brahman realization. They were asked by their father, Lord Brahma, to please go out and populate the universe. In order to populate the universe, you must get married. But they were very renounced by nature. They wanted to remain free from the entanglements of household life. It's explained that there's a danger of becoming entangled in material life in that particular ashram. Although it is a spiritual ashram, still there's a chance that one can easily become entangled by that ashram. So they were thinking, why take the chance? Why take the chance? So they refused the instructions of their father, Lord Brahma, who was directly empowered by Lord Krishna to create. And that was the purpose of the expansion of his sons. So when Brahma became aware that his sons had refused, he became angry. He became so angry that the manifestation of his anger produced, just like when you get angry, your whole body becomes tense. And he explains that sometimes the lips begin to quiver, and even sometimes it explains in different stages of anger, the chest becomes tight, and the left arm begins to quiver, the mind becomes full of passion. And due to that intense anger, all of a sudden, between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma, one personality appeared, coming directly from the body of Lord Brahma. And the personality was blue in color. And this was actually Rudra, or Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva appeared directly from the body of Lord Brahma due to Brahma's anger towards his son, the four Kumaras. Of course, on a higher level, the four Kumaras pleased Lord Brahma, because they understood that to take up the message of preaching was higher. So they did that. And of course, the four Kumaras are head of one of the Sampradayas. We have four Sampradayas. Brahma Gaudiya Madhya Sampradaya, which Lord Brahma is in charge of. We have the Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi, Ramanuja Sampradaya. We have the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, which is the Rudra Sampradaya, Lord Shiva. And we have the Nimbarka Sampradaya, or headed by the four Kumaras. So each of the Sampradayas has their presiding deities. So the four Kumaras actually became head of one of the most important Sampradayas. Sampradaya means the spiritual lineage, where pure teachings of Vaishnavism can be found. Srila Prabhupada explains that if you want to become Krishna conscious, you must follow one of the four Sampradayas. He says there is no question of becoming Krishna conscious outside of the four Sampradayas. These are authorized lines of devotional practices with teachers, scriptures, and saints and sages. So, although Brahma got mad at his four sons, still, in one sense, they pleased Lord Brahma. So Rudra was born. He appeared. So this was the appearance of Lord Shiva in this material world. And Shiva's a post. In every universe, there is a Shiva. Just like in every universe, there is a Brahma. There's an original Shiva, but he plays a function of various roles within the universe. Shiva sometimes is called the father of all living entities, in that he is the manifestation of the super soul within this material world. The super soul is none different than Lord Shiva. Shiva, it is explained that Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, as we were chanting this morning in this wonderful sloka from the very last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it glorifies the Ganges, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva. Why is he the greatest of all Vaishnavas? Because the whole world is full of living entities who have somehow or other wandered away from their eternal relationship with the Lord. And so the Lord is very much disturbed and brokenhearted to see his sons, his daughters, his parts and parcels suffering in this material world, trying to enjoy the broken pieces of glass in the form of sense gratification. So the Lord becomes very compassionate upon the living beings to see their suffering. So Lord Shiva, he takes up the job of going to those who are most unqualified, most sinful, most degraded, those who would never even consider making an attempt to perform devotional service. Many of us are products of the mercy of Lord Shiva. Sometimes we find that just before we came to Krishna consciousness, we had some connection with Lord Shiva, either through reading about Lord Shiva or seeing pictures of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has brought many of us in contact with Krishna consciousness. So he's very, very merciful. It is explained that those who would never worship Krishna, he goes to them and he gives them material benedictions. So they worship him. And that way, when they are worshiping a Vaishnava, if you worship a Vaishnava, then you are also indirectly more worshiping one who is connected to Krishna, because a Vaishnava means one who is connected to Krishna. So Lord Shiva, he is one of the greatest Vaishnavas. So although these living entities do not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are simply attached to Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Therefore, indirectly, they're getting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One time, during the churning of the milk ocean, I believe we have just passed that particular pastime in the eighth canto, where the demons on one side and the demigods on the other side were churning the milk ocean in order to get the nectar And they were churning and churning and churning. Lord Achyuta became the pivot. He became the pivot, the churning rod for the churning of the milk ocean. And as they were churning and churning and churning, waiting for the nectar to come out, what came out before the nectar was a very deadly and most dangerous, powerful poison called halahala. It's explained that just one drop of this poison could destroy the entire universe. It was so deadly. And this is very, very important, very instructive to understand that in our devotional service, in practicing Krishna consciousness, as we perform our devotional life, the nectar doesn't come out at the beginning. The sweet, ambrosial, unrestricted nectar of Krishna consciousness is the end product of our devotional life, our devotional endeavor. But the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of purification. It's a process of purification. Just like before you can bring in something wonderful, you have to get rid of something that's not so nice. So in our hearts, in our minds, there's the association of the material energy, which has been with us for so many millions of births. The desires, the attractions to this material energy, they are embedded deep within our consciousness, and they don't go away very easily. In fact, we don't really know how deep our association with material energy is. So in the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and performing our devotional service, what happens is at the beginning, the poison starts to stir around. It starts to come out. And then we realize that we see just how strong we were attached to this material energy. And as it starts to come out, it's not very pleasant. Sometimes new persons who come to Krishna consciousness, when they see, they start performing Krishna consciousness, they think, wow, I'm getting worse. This process doesn't work. I used to be a nice person. Now look at me, I'm a mess. Sounds familiar. But what is happening is that we're giving up our attachments to the material energy. And just like when you take butter and you put it on the fire, and you keep it on the fire slowly, trying to make the wonderful and pure substance ghee. Ghee is the purest substance in the material, one of the purest substances in the material world. So before the ghee can be finished, the contaminations have to come out. So gradually all the impurities come to the top. And then what do? You take those impurities and you skim them off and throw them away. And gradually, after a period of time, you have the pure substance of ghee, which you can use for cooking nicely. So in the same way, in our devotional service, so many impurities will come. We have to take them and throw them away. We should not internalize them again by stopping the process of purification. Therefore, association with devotees is essential for making progress on the path of devotional service. Because devotees help us in these times when we're going through the struggle of purification. So, the demigods on one side, the demons on the other side, churning the ocean of milk, and this deadly, powerful poison, halahala, starting to come out. And it was black in color. And all the living entities, the demons and the demigods, they ran to Lord Vishnu. And they said, Lord Vishnu, help us. This poison will destroy everything. Lord Vishnu said, you should go to Lord Shiva. He can help you. Of course, Lord Vishnu was competent to help. He was able to easily solve the problem. But he wanted to glorify his devotee, Lord Shiva. So he sent everyone to Lord Shiva. And they prayed, "My dear Shambhu, Lord Shiva, please, this poison is about to engulf the entire creation. Save us." So Lord Shiva, he gathered whatever poison was there, he shrunk it down to a very, very condensed version of that poison. And then with his hands, he picked it up and started to drink it. While he was picking it up, some of the poison dropped away. And such living entities, such as snakes and scorpions, started to drink some of this poison. So that is how these living entities are poisonous. So he picked it up and he started to drink the poison. And his wife, Parvati, she was worried. So she grabbed him by the throat and she held his throat so that the poison would not go down his body. And because of that, Lord Shiva's throat turned a very, very dark, dark color, black. So black. And we might say that this is a disfiguration or some blemish on the body of Lord Shiva, but actually it's not. When devotees see Lord Shiva or hear about this particular pastime, they will glorify Lord Shiva as being the savior of the creation. Therefore he's called Nilakanta or Kalakanta. Nilakanta means one who has a blue throat or a black throat. So on the throat of Lord Shiva there's a blackish mark, a bluish, dark bluish mark. And it's the emblem for his compassion for all living entities. It is said that the ultimate compassion is to help others become Krishna conscious. And in that compassion, that the greatest of all devotees have to be willing to give up everything in order to save other conditioned souls. That is the epitome of compassion. To want to help others by even willing to sacrifice one's own life. Of course, that was the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he came to the Western world at the age of 70 years old. He had two heart attacks on the boat coming over. And when he got here, he was completely overwhelmed by the materialistic culture of the West, seeing so much sinful and degraded activities. But he came anyway, simply to give the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to us. If Prabhupada would not have willing to risk his life in order to spread Krishna consciousness, we would not be sitting here having the chance and ultimately to perfect our lives in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is a personification of that compassion and mercy for the living entities, that he was willing to risk his, sacrifice his very life in order to save devotional souls. Prabhupada, he was happy. In India, he was living in Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, and he was doing his bhaja. He didn't have to leave. He was 70 years old, but he came. He came because he wanted to show mercy to the fallen conditioned souls of the world. So we are indebted to Srila Prabhupada as the savior of our life, actually. Because life means Krishna consciousness. Life does not simply mean living a long years in this material body. The scriptures say that one can live for hundreds of years, but what is the quality of such life that it is not devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The trees, they live for thousands of years. Who cares about their existence? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he lived for 48 years. Shankaracharya lived for 32 years. Lord Jesus Christ lived for 33 years. What was the quality of such personalities? That they completely revolutionized the world by their teachings and their life. So we see that it's not how long you live, it's what you do with your life that's important. Therefore, every moment should be used in order to progress in our spiritual progress. Lord Shiva, he is sometimes called Asutosh. Asutosh means one who is very easily pleased and one who is very easily angered. Ah. Lord Shiva can be pleased very easily and he can be angered very easily. There is one demon by the name of Vikrasura. Vikrasura was a very low-class demon. Some demons, they have some quality and some class to them. They have some, you know, like Ravana. Ravana was a high-class demon. You know, he was a demon, but he had some class. You know, he dressed nicely. He was learned in the Vedas. You know, he had a nice place to live, you know, nice food to eat. He was, you know, he had everything together materially. But there are low-class demons, too, who are, they just, somehow or other, they're just the lowest modes of ignorance. So Vikrasura was such a personality. So he started to worship Lord Shiva by chanting Lord Shiva's name and praying to Lord Shiva. And what he was doing was he was cutting off his flesh and throwing it into the sacrificial fire, praying for Lord Shiva to appear to him. So Lord Shiva, he didn't come. So after some time, this demon was becoming impatient and disturbed. So he decided, I'll cut off my head and throw it in the fire. What a fool. So, he was about to do that, and Lord Shiva appeared. He said, okay, rascal, what do you want? What do you want? He said, oh, thank you. I'm glad you have come. Yes, I want a benediction that anyone's head I touch will immediately they crack into pieces. They'll die. So it's explained in this particular pastime that when you get a chance for a benediction, one should know how to ask for benedictions. This is science for asking for what is beneficial. The demons, they don't know nirvittimcha, pravittimcha. They don't know what to do and what not to do. Just like today, we see in this world that many of the leaders who pose themselves as forerunners of the people, the vision of our progress in society, what do? They simply try to invent different ways of destruction. Bigger bombs, greater ways to pollute the earth. This is demoniac mentality. They get grants in order how to make better scientific discoveries, in order to make better weaponry and better forms of material technology which pollute the water, pollute the earth, pollute the air. This is demoniac. So this demon said, can you give me? And Shiva said, yes. So what did he do? Immediately when he received the benediction from Lord Shiva that anyone's head he could touch would crack, he wanted to try it out on Lord Shiva. He was thinking, Parvati, she's so nice that I should have her as my wife. And he became interested in Shiva's wife. So he figured, I have to finish off Shiva. So he came after Lord Shiva. And Shiva realized, I think I made a mistake. So he started to flee. And his demon was chasing after him. He was fleeing everywhere and going everywhere. And Lord Vishnu, he was seeing that his devotee, Lord Shiva, was in trouble. So he incarnated as a little boy, a little Brahmin boy. And he came in the way of Shiva's path, and Shiva ran by. As soon as Shiva ran by, the demon was coming, he stopped him, he put his arm up. He said, where are you going? He said, I have this benediction that anyone's head I will touch, I will crack, so I'm going to use it on Lord Shiva. I got this benediction from Lord Shiva. This little Brahmin boy, who was actually Lord Vishnu, said, I have seen These Shiva's been giving out these benedictions that just don't work. He's doing this. They don't work. I've seen it myself. And just to prove, if you go ahead and touch his head, everyone will laugh at you. Don't you make a fool of yourself. You'll become embarrassed. But I can, just to prove that it doesn't work, you should try it on your own head. So by the Yogamaya potency of Lord Vishnu, the demon Vrikasura, he touched his own head. Finished. So Lord Vishnu told Lord Shiva, be careful what kind of benedictions you give out. You know, you never know what's going to happen. When Hiranyakashipu was killed eventually by Lord Nrisimhadeva, he came to Lord Brahma. He said, Brahma, why are you giving me all this trouble? Brahma is his devotee. He said, don't give out these benedictions to these demons anymore. They just don't know what to do with them. They use them for destructive purposes. This story of Vrikasura kind of illustrates a certain philosophical point. Some people think that it doesn't matter who you worship. You can worship Brahma, you can worship Shiva, you can worship Vishnu, you can worship Ganesh. You can worship anyone. Because worship is worship. Yatamata tatapata. No matter what you just worship something. Right? Worship your grandfather. There was one saint. He came to America. He said, why worship the Tulsi plant? You should worship the eggplant. Yeah. If you worship the eggplant, you get something from it. You get some prasad. So he was saying you should worship the eggplant. So this is the foolish philosophy of some so-called incarnations and saints. So this story illustrates that Lord Vishnu came to save Lord Shiva. So therefore, ATHAM SAM KALAM PUM SAM KRISHNAS TU BHAGAVAN SWAYAM. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are devadas, demigods. And they should be worshipped not as demigods, but they should be worshipped as devotees of the Lord. Therefore, we can worship Lord Shiva in the mood of a devotee. We can worship Lord Brahma also in the mood of a devotee. And that is the way they want to be worshipped. They do not want to be worshipped as the Supreme. When they are worshipped as the Supreme, they give out material benedictions. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistas tadhita jnanam papadyante de devataha, that those who worship the devas for material benedictions, their intelligence is not very developed. It's called alpha medasa. And medasa means intelligence, alpha means very little. So one should have sumedasa, great intelligence. Therefore, yajnai sankirtanai praya yajanti hi sumedasaha. That those who are actually intelligent, they worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the incarnation in this age and practice the Harinam Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age, this is the supreme form of devotional practice by glorifying the Supreme Lord in the form of chanting His holy name of the Lord. Lord Shiva is very interesting. He's very powerful and he's very wonderful. In order to worship Lord Krishna nicely, we also pray to Lord Shiva to get the benedictions. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Digpala. And he's the protector of all directions. He gives protection. And all the major dhams within India, Lord, there is a linga of Lord Shiva established there as the protector of that particular dham. In Mathura, he is Bhuteshwar. In Kamyavan, he is Kamaleshwar. In Vrindavan, he is Chakaleshwar. And in Varanasi, is it? There's one other. Chakaleshwar, oh. In What is the place where they dance the rasa dance?
Nidhava.
He is Gopeshwar. Gopeshwar. So these four lingas of Lord Shiva were established by the grandson of Lord Krishna called Brajanam. He established these four lingas as protectors of these dhams. So Lord Shiva gives protection to the holy dhams. He also gives protection to the Vaishnavas too in our devotional service. There's one story in Vrindavan. Actually, Srila Sanatana Goswami, who's the head of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the senior most of all Goswamis, he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He was a devotee of Lord Krishna, but he also worshipped Shiva very much. So, during one time, Sanatana Goswami was residing in Vrindavan, and he was trying to do his writing. Sanatana Goswami was asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to establish the holy places and to write the Vaishnav scriptures. So he was writing the scriptures. So, and sometimes those of you who've spent some time in India or in warm places, there's always mosquitoes, right? Mosquitoes are not nice. They don't have any manners. They're not very polite. They don't even ask you. They want some blood. They don't say, "My dear sir, can you spare a few drops of your blood for me? I'm hungry." You just come and take it. If somebody will come to beg, you would say, "You might consider making an offering if somebody was begging from you." But because Vaishnavas are compassionate, but mosquitoes, they don't even ask. They just come and they bite. No, mosquitoes are not very nice personalities. One time, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Vrindavan, and he was sitting in one room, and the devotees were there, and there was all these mosquitoes flying around. So the mosquitoes were biting the devotees. They kept harassing the devotees, but there was no mosquitoes around Srila Prabhupada. So the devotees said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, because you are a pure devotee, the mosquitoes, they don't bother you." Prabhupada said, "Yes, but in Mayapur, they have no respect." You go to Mayapur, mosquitoes are... They make no distinction in Mayapur. Mayapur has the best prasad, so the mosquitoes there, they always want to bite the devotees because they know that the devotees eat the best prasad. So therefore they want the best prasad. So the mosquitoes were biting, bothering Sanatana Goswami, so he decided, "I better not stay here anymore, let me leave." So that, just before he was about to leave, Lord Shiva, realizing his devotee was going to leave, he took the form of a Brahmin, an old Brahmin man. And he came and he offered his respects to Sanatana Goswami and he started to praise him. And he said, and then Sanatana Goswami said, Yes, I'm staying here in Vrindavan, but I think I'll be leaving tomorrow. He said, "Why?" He said, "Because there are so many mosquitoes here, and they're constantly bothering me, so I cannot stay here." The Brahmin said, "Please, stay one more night, just one more night, and I will use my Brahmin Tejas, my Brahminical power." The power of the Brahmins are very strong, to pray so that your mosquitoes will not bother you. So he obeyed an offer, so Sanatana said, "I'll stay one more night." So that night, Lord Shiva, he went to the demigod of the mosquitoes. There's a demigod in charge of every aspect of creation. So there's one in charge of mosquitoes. He said, "Keep your mosquitoes away from Sanatana Goswami." Okay. So he did that. Until this day, if you go to that area in Vrindavan, which is right at the gate of Govardhan. It's right by the hill Govardhan here. There's a little temple there. It's a Shiva temple. There's 8 lingas. And right next to that is the place where Sanatana Goswami was doing his bhaja. Until this day, there's no mosquitoes in that area. Just to honor his pure devotee, Sanatana Goswami. So Lord Shiva performed that wonderful service. The Lord wants to serve his devotee. The devotee wants to serve the Lord. To serve the Vaishnavas is the highest form of worship. When Lord Ramachandra, in his fight with Ravana, he eventually killed Ravana. But who was Ravana? Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So, Ram felt bad. I killed a devotee of my devotee. Although he was a demon, he deserved to be killed. Still, the Lord was thinking he's a disciple, devotee of Lord Shiva. So in order to make up for this offense, let me honor my devotee. So he wanted to worship Lord Shiva. So he was told there was a Shiva Linga somewhere, I forgot exactly where, some distance away. And you bring this Shiva Linga here, and then perform the puja at a very auspicious time to worship this linga. So Ram sent Hanuman to find this linga and bring it back. But Hanuman got delayed. He didn't get delayed, he just couldn't find the linga. So in the meantime, Mother Sita, she had the Shiva linga, so she brought hers. And Ram worshipped that. And then when Hanuman came, Hanuman was quite disappointed, and he was late. So Ram also worshipped that. He worshipped both in order to please Hanuman. So to show the love for his devotees, Lord Ram worshipped the Shiva Linga. And some people today mistakenly think, oh, Ram, he worships Shiva, therefore Shiva is greater than Ram. This is the misconception. That's why, in order to understand scripture, you have to have guru. If you read scripture, if one reads scripture, they will interpret whatever they want to interpret. So people mistakenly think that Ram is a devotee of Shiva. But actually, Krishna, you can see Krishna, he drove the chariot for his disciple Arjuna. Does that mean that Krishna was a disciple of Arjuna? No. The other way around. So in the same way, the Lord serves his devotee, honors his devotee, and even worships his devotee. Just prior to the battle of Kurukshetra, when the Pandavas were concerned about the formidable offenses of the Kurus, and they were worried, we need to take the blessings of Lord Shiva in order to win this war. So they went to one place in Kurukshetra. There's a beautiful temple there. I was there a few years ago with the devotees. And there's a linga of Lord Shiva. And on the wall is a beautiful, beautiful picture of Krishna and the 5 Pandavas bathing this linga, offering worship to this particular linga. It's a beautiful picture. And it's said that Krishna and the 5 Pandavas came there and they worship Lord Shiva in order to get the blessings of Lord Shiva, in order to help them in winning the battle of Kurukshetra. There's another interesting story that I don't know if you would appreciate this story, but it's very interesting for those of you who have some understanding of New Vrindavan, the wonderful farm community in West Virginia. And for many years, New Vrindavan became deviated in its philosophy and practice from Krishna consciousness. And claiming to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada was going on with unauthorized and bogus practices. So at one time the community, and this was actually in 1993, became so tense, it became a battleground. Devotees were practically at odds with each other. There was a war in New Vrindavan. It was like the Battle of Kurukshetra. I was there. It was those who were following the previous leader and those who wanted to follow Prabhupada. And the previous leader had established a type of worship and type of program. And so when we came to India, many of us were followers of Srila Prabhupada, we went to that temple of Lord Shiva and we prayed to Lord Shiva to give us the mercy to reestablish Prabhupada's program of devotional service in New Vrindavan. And believe it or not, the actual reestablishing of Prabhupada's worship in New Vrindavan became surprisingly much easier than we had thought it would be. At the time, it looked very bleak. And there were many offenses being committed. Sometimes there was even violence. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and also we pray to Lord Shiva by worshipping that same linga that Lord Krishna and the Pandavas worship in order to get victory in the battle of Kurukshetra. So many of the devotees feel that it was also the grace of Lord Shiva that helped to reestablish New Vrindavan back on track. And it's important that anytime you want to become successful in your devotional life, you have to get the mercy and blessings of the great souls. You have to get the mercy and blessings of the Lord. Without their mercy, without their blessings, it's very difficult, utterly impossible to make progress in the path of spiritual life, because they are empowered to give their blessings and mercy to those who pray to them for such things, when these things are in line with religious principles. So Lord Shiva is in that particular position. In fact, not only is he in that position, he's one of the main persons. So we pray to Lord Shiva, especially on today, to help us in our devotional service to Lord Krishna. And he can bestow unlimited mercy. Shiva is so merciful. He is so merciful. He is so kind that his son, Ganesh, who is the... he's one of the great devas also, is explained in Nectar of Devotion, and that Ganesh is empowered to relieve obstacles on the path of devotional service. If you pray to Ganesh, my dear Ganesh, please remove any impediments that are blocking my spiritual progress, whatever they may be. By his mercy and will, he will help you in your spiritual life. And he is the son of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is very, very kind. He is very, very merciful. He is one of the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. And he's always eager to help devotees in their path of Krishna consciousness. Lord Shiva is a great devotee of Krishna. There's one song which proves it. Sometimes the Vaishnavas, we sing one song of the Krishna's and Lord Shiva's devotion to Lord. Actually, he is a devotee of Lord Ram. He is a devotee of Ram. Ram and Krishna, of course, are non-different, but still, Ram is there. So there's one beautiful song. Would you like to sing a song? As you're in the mood for a little chanting? Okay. We'll do a little sing-song. It's very simple, very cute. It's a nice song. I'll sing and then you can repeat. It's very nice. Even if you don't have an ecstatic voice, still try to sing a little bit. It goes, Brahmo Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Can you do that? Brahmo Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Try it. Brahmo Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Now the second half. Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Let's try it together.
Brahmo Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Ready? Try it again.
Brahmo Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare.
It's a beautiful song. So you can say you learned something in class anyway. So the first part is Brahma Bole. That's Lord Brahma, he chants Hare Krishna. He has four heads. Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe means he has four faces. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Mahadev is Shiva. He has five heads. Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare. He chants Ram. Like that. So this is a very beautiful song. There's another beautiful, beautiful story where Lord Shiva, he heard about the wonderful glories of the rasa dance. When Krishna danced the rasa dance with his eternal associates, the gopis. Of course, the rasa dance, worshipping the Lord in the form of a gopi, is considered the highest position of spiritual practice. The gopis are considered the best of all devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, Gopi Bhartir Bhadikamalayor Dasu Dasu Amdas. That I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the damsels of Raj. So the damsels of Raj, they have the highest mood of devotional service for Lord Krishna. And to enter into that mood of devotional service is the topmost achievement of one's spiritual practice. It's a very difficult position to attain. But it's attainable. Very difficult. So Lord Shiva, he wanted to enter into that rasa dance. But he was in the male body. No men allowed. The sign said no men allowed. The only male was Krishna. So he wanted to get into the rasa dance. So he went there, and Lalita Devi, she heard his, she said, yes, you can come, but you have to become female. You can't enter into this dance in your Shiva body. You have to be a gopi. So she took him to one lake, one pond. She said, bathe in this lake. So Lord Shiva bathed in this lake. And upon bathing in this lake, when he came out, he was no longer Shiva. He was a gopi. He had transformed his body into a gopi. Sometimes you find today, in today's practices, people do that. Men want to become women, right? Women want to become men. They have these operations. People do it for sense gratification. It's quite demoniac and degraded. There are people who do that. In fact, I know one person. He's a he now. He used to be a she. I beat him. I'm not sure how I should dress him. It's like, was it Sakandi? He wanted to. Sakandi was a man. He wanted to kill Grandfather Bhishma because Bhishma, and Sakandi was a girl. Amba wanted to kill Grandfather Bhishma because he refused to marry her. So she went to Lord Shiva and she prayed, make me a man. So she got the benediction and she became a man. And then that was how Bhishma left his body. He was fighting with Arjuna and Sikandi was put in front, because Sikandi was a man, but Bhishma knew that's a woman, that's not a man. I can't fight with a woman. You can explain you don't fight with women. It's against Kshatriya codes for Kshatriyas to fight with women. So he didn't do it. And therefore Sikandi was able to kill him, grandfather Bhishma. Of course Bhishma agreed to this whole thing. So there are processes for changing. So Lord Shiva, he received the body of a gopi. When he came out of this one lake in Vrindavan, he was in a body of a lady. But he had his little moon on the top of his head. He was a gopi with a little moon on the top. Everybody knew it was a Shiva gopi. So Lord Krishna said to Lord Shiva in the form of a gopi, he said, you are one of my best devotees. You should stand guard and make sure that no unauthorized persons enter into this rasa dance. So Shiva became the protector of the rasa dance in the form of this gopi. So that is his service. So we see how Lord Shiva actually performed these austerities in order to become a gopi. So these are some of the wonderful and pastimes of Lord Shiva. There's unlimited stories of Lord Shiva. I don't know how much time we do have, but if there's someone else would like to relate a particular story or a particular pastime or just some point in relationship to Lord Shiva. Yes.
Can you tell us, in India they put this shivling and then you worship the shivling with milk and water? What is the purpose of
What is the purpose of worshipping the Shiva Linga? Or what is the purpose of milk and water?
Yeah, milk and water and the Shiva Linga. Not actually the Shiva's picture, but the Shiva Linga.
Oh, the purpose of worshipping the Linga?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not his deity or picture.
Yeah. That's a very beautiful story. One time, all the great sages in the higher planets were trying to decide, well, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Is it Brahma? Is it Shiva? Or is it Vishnu? And they couldn't decide. So they decided to do a little experiment. So they deputed one of the leading of all sages, his name was Brigamuni. Brigamuni was the son of Lord Brahma. He was one of Brahma's best sons. So he said, Brigamuni, you go to each one of these deities and find out which one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Briga left and he went to the abode of Lord Brahma, Brahma Loka. And Brahma was there. And when Brigamuni came in, he saw his father, Lord Brahma, who was not only a great, it was his father, and also a great personality, the head of the Sampradaya, one of the creators of the universe. Brahma is very powerful, demigod. So Brahma is respectable by all. So Brigamuni, he didn't offer any respects to Brahma. Didn't acknowledge him. Didn't show any respect. So, and that's an offense. Just in Vedic culture, when you see your parents, you're supposed to offer respects to your parents. That is the proper way. So he didn't offer any respects, either to him as a great personality or his father. So Brahma became angry. Brahma became angry. But somehow or other he controlled his anger. But it was noted by Bhrigu. He said, you have become angry. So he left. He left. So then he went to the abode of Kailash, which is the abode of Lord Shiva. And Shiva is his brother. Both were born from the body of Lord Brahma. So they were brothers.
So when Shiva saw his brother Bhrigu Muni coming, he said, "Bhrigu, my dear brother, welcome." He got up, he left Parvati, he started walking over to embrace him. And Shiva said, "Don't touch me. You've got snakes, skulls." Yeah, Bhrigu said that, "Don't touch me. You have snakes and skulls and ashes all over your body. You hang around in crematoriums. You're not a very well-dressed personality." So Shiva became so angry. And again, Shiva's anger is like a fireball. He becomes easily pleased and easily angry. So he took out his trident. He was going to finish Bhrigu on the spot. But Parvati was there. She said, "No." She grabbed him and she said, "No, my dear Lord, don't. He's your brother." So Shiva checked his anger. But Bhrigu noted, "You have become angry." So he left. And Bhrigu went. Finally, he went to the place where Lord Vishnu resides in the material world, the Svetadvipa planet, where the Lord lies on the milk ocean with his consort Lakshmi. And he saw Lord Vishnu there. And immediately he came in, and Lord Vishnu was very happy to see Bhrigu. He said, "Oh, my dear Bhrigu, please come." And Bhrigu came, walked all the way up to the Lord, and with his foot, he kicked him in the chest. What a way to greet somebody, right? Imagine if somebody greeted you like that. You wouldn't feel too happy with that encounter. So he kicked him hard in the chest. What did Lord Vishnu do? He said, "My dear Bhrigu, my chest is very hard. I think I should have massaged your foot. I think maybe you have hurt your foot by kicking my chest." He said that to Bhrigu. And Bhrigu could understand, yes, he is the supreme deity of all deities. This is the supreme personality of Godhead. So, it was understood through this story that actually Lord Vishnu, Krishna, is the supreme personality of Godhead. And because Brahma committed the offense of becoming angry, he got a reaction for that anger. So nowhere, except there's only one place, practically, in all of the world where Brahma is worshipped. And that is Pushkar. If you go to the place called Pushkar, there's a temple of Lord Brahma. So he would, and because of Shiva becoming angry, he was cursed not to be worshipped in his form as Shiva. But still he's worshipable. So we worship the Lord in the form of his linga. That is the reason why Shiva is not worshipped in his personal form as Shiva, but he's worshipped in his form as linga. So everywhere Shiva can be worshipped in that form. Like that. That's the story. Yes, Shankar?
Some of the words here are concerned about Abhishek for Shiva Linga tomorrow, because it said a minute about this kind of temple in Mayapur and Vrindavan. There's no direct Abhishek. So, is offering the Abhishek considered appropriate?
I have been doing some research in the last week, and yesterday I received the GBC resolution in this regard. So I'll make it available to devotees here, Sunil Madhavaprabhu, yourself. You can read the GBC resolution in this regard. But to answer your question, there is some worship allowable, but there is restrictions in the worship. So, without getting into all that detail and restrictions, I don't think this is appropriate in this particular time to get into that. But the worship can be conducted, but there is restrictions, and those restrictions must be followed in order to keep the sanctity and purity of the worship here in the temple. And also to honor Lord Shiva properly. If we honor him
in the wrong way, then he will not also be pleased. So that's important. So I'll make that resolution available. I have it upstairs. Yes, Tarun Krishna Prabhu.
I could have explained the reference of Lord Shiva having five faces.
Yes.
But in any picture, he only has one. I don't understand him being five faces.
Oh, he can take on five. His original form is five. But when he comes to perform different activities, he takes on one head. If you go to India, in many, there's many deities of Shiva with five heads. You can find this one in Kurukshetra. There's five faces of Shiva. Shiva can expand himself into Rudra. There's 11 manifestations of Lord Rudra. Lord Rudra is the aspect of Shiva that he manifests for the destruction. When Lord Shiva wants to destroy the universe, he becomes Rudra. And he dances the dance of Pralaya. The dance of Pralaya. And that dance is the dance of destruction. And when Lord Shiva dances, people become confused. No one can understand Lord Shiva's dancing. Unless you understand the position of Lord Shiva, you might get a little bewildered by his dancing. I was just in one place called Sitara. It's a little bit south of Pune in India. There's a temple there, Sankaracharya. So we went. And there's a deity of Lord Shiva there. It's one of the few deities of Lord Shiva in the entire India. There's only two. He's there at Natvarj, the dancing Lord Shiva. Beautiful deity of Lord Shiva. There's only two places. And on the outside of the temple, all the way around the temple, decorating the entire temple, is different phases of Lord Shiva's dancing. Beautiful carvings into the temple. It's big. It goes all the way around the entire temple. So there's dozens and dozens of pictures of Lord Shiva dancing in his... They call it... The dance is called Tandava dance or something like that. It's another name for the... One of his dancing. And he's dancing with, of course, Parvati. Or Shakti. The female energy. So one has to be careful. Some people like to imitate Lord Shiva. Prabhupada said the hippie movement is connected with Lord Shiva. They want to grow long hair and smoke ganja and do nothing. So... Prabhupada said, if you want to smoke ganja and imitate Lord Shiva, then you should have to also drink an ocean of poison. Then you can become like Lord Shiva. So people smoke these things. Lord Shiva does that. They say Lord Shiva does that. And Shiva's followers, if you go to India, many of his followers, they smoke ganja. They smoke ganja. And they consider themselves followers of Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva doesn't care for these characters. These personalities. He doesn't really care for them. He gives them the mercy, but he doesn't consider them as real followers. Yes.
Martin, the deity of the prophet tries to remember the place of Vrindavan where the deity of Lord Shiva is situated. There is a bus.
Nancy.
I answered Nidavan.
It's Vamsivad. It's Vasa, Vamsivad. Yeah, it's Vamsivad. Vamsivad. Yes. He's there as Gopeshwar Mahadev. I should mention for the information of the devotees in general that when Nanda Maharaj and the Cowherd Bearers went to visit the place of Lord Shiva. They fasted in honor of Lord Shiva. So today is not a prescribed fast, it's an optional fast. So if you are inclined, you can fast today in honor of Lord Shiva. And then that is considered acceptable, and it's a way of honoring Lord Shiva. So Nanda Maharaj, he did that. Although he was a devotee of Krishna, he honored Lord Shiva by going to the holy place and fasting on this day. Half a day fast. It's not mandatory, it's optional. Yes?
Dr.
Ed?
How many
Shivas are there? There's a Shiva for every universe. But there's an original Shiva in the spiritual world. Just like there's a Brahma for every universe, there's a Shiva for every universe also. Shiva is the destroyer. Shiva, again, Shiva gives out all kinds of benedictions. Do we have more time for more stories, or should we end now? I don't want to keep beyond. Srila Madhava Prabhu, should we continue, or should we end the class? 9 o'clock now. Okay, we'll take one more question then. Yes. Question?
A simple question is, if there's a Shiva forever in the universe,
mm-hmm.
and then there's God Shiva, the original Shiva, is the Shiva in each universe a Jiva soul, or is it an expansion of God Shiva?
He's what is called Shiva Shakti. There's Vishnu Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Shiva Shakti, and Jiva Shakti. He's not Jiva. His planet, he has a planet called Kailash. Where's Kailash? It's between the material and spiritual worlds. It's not in the material world. If you read the Brahma Samhita, it mentions there's three dhams, right? Hari Dham, Devi Dham, and Mahesh Dham. This is Devi Dham. The material world is Devi Dham. And then there's Hari Dham, it's the abode of Hari, and Mahesh Dham. Mahesh Dham is the abode of Shiva. Three dhams. Okay, so I think it is getting to the end. Devotees do have services to do. So today is a very auspicious day. We pray for the mercy of Lord Shiva. And tomorrow we'll be having a little program in honor of Lord Shiva. So please everyone come and participate in honoring this great and wonderful and merciful Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam Ita Sambhu, Lord Shiva Ki Jaya. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.